Hello, and welcome to Frame Rates. My name's Gary Yarbrough, and this is a special episode, part two of LEGO Sequels with my father. This is the Rocky franchise. In part one, we went over Rocky 1, 2, and 3. And today, in this episode, we're going over Rocky 4, 5, and 6. It is a really special kind of project for me, LEGO Sequels with my father, going over these movies, what they meant when they came out at that time, what they meant to my dad, what they meant kind of in society and pop culture. And it's a really great opportunity to kind of chat with him about his experiences and about this franchise, which has meant a lot to him. So without further ado, which is listen to part two of LEGO Sequels with my father.
Still in Panama,
at but you're 82. Into self-development. You're
very much self-development. Yeah. In fact, yeah,
And rebounding kind of from your family leaving and all that.
Yeah, and then in Rocky IV, and that comes out late '85. Mm-hmm. That's when I met your mom. Your brother was only 1 year old, and so that's also when I got. I had been so involved in the self-development movement and been going to seminars in the States. That's when I brought both. Jeff Alexander and Tony Robbins to Panama. So
wow.
That was a really transitional
in 85.
Critical time. Yep. In 85.
Wow. Okay.
Today the Soviet Union has officially entered professional boxing.
This is not just an exhibition fight, but this is us against them.
He would like to compete against anyone who's qualified.
Drago is the most perfectly trained athlete ever. Whatever he hits, he destroys.
He could have stopped the fight. He could have saved his best friend's life.
I'll never forget you, Pop.
But now, the one thing he can't do is walk away.
Has the fight date been set yet?
December 25th.
Where?
It's in Russia.
Are you nuts? This is Miss Balboa. When will
you be going around? 85.
Wow. Okay.
Yeah.
So
that was at the height of the the Cold War, because
yeah, that's what I want to get into.
Yeah,
so
in,
what?
In 1980, the U.S. had boycotted the Moscow Olympics because of the Russians' involvement in Afghanistan. Mm-hmm. And then 1984, where the Olympics were at Los Angeles, the Russians boycotted the L.A. Olympics put on by the U.S. And so there was a lot of bad blood between the U.S. and the Soviet Union at that time. And so this was at the peak of the Cold War.
What's so interesting to me is that growing up with the Rocky movies seeming so far in the past 20 years ago, which is funny to me because like now a 15-year-old movie doesn't seem that old, you know, 15, 20-year-old movie doesn't seem that old. But yeah, when I was 10 years old, a movie that was made 10 years before I was born was a big deal. And, you know, a lot had changed in cinema. You know, a movie from 1998 looked a lot different than a movie from 1978. So
exactly. Yes.
You know,
yes.
Film grain and all that. So I guess what I was saying is that back then it's interesting to think of like the demonization of Russia and the USSR as it seemed like such a propaganda to me and such a relic of a time. You know, almost looking back now and thinking like every bad guy in a movie post 9/11 was, you know, some kind of terrorist or something like that.
Mm-hmm,
it's
mm-hmm.
like, oh, any bad guy in the 80s was some kind of was some kind of Soviet Russian, you know, communist. And so what's fascinating to me is to think that it's a lot more relevant now. And, you know, as we get into it, we'll we'll get to later in the franchise, but it's even interesting looking at how this year, the last couple of years, you know, it's different to look at Russia or USSR than it has been pretty much ever since the end of the Cold War. So
it's interesting
to be in cycles because I used to think Rocky IV just totally was cartoonish to make the villain this Russian enemy, and now that's a lot less
prior to the Ukraine invasion, we were trying to get along with Russia.
Exactly. Yeah. Well, and I think just demonizing any one group seems only acceptable at certain times. When you're outside of those times,
also leading up to that, more obvious. Dolph Lundgren, a Swede, played Ivan Drago. And he's 6'5", 260, and just a fantastic athlete specimen of a man. But up all through the late 70s and through the 80s, the international athletic community had been very critical because they knew that the Russians were doping all their athletes. And they were steroids, and they were doping them, and they had done very well in the Olympics. This is before a lot of blood screening and things. And so here comes Dolph Lundgren, who's this guy, he's just, you know, he's a human specimen. And at the time when the U.S. and Russia are not getting along, and so Dolph Lundgren or Drago, was a champion in the amateur, and there had been no Soviet boxers coming out in the professional role. But he comes out and he's going to do a exhibition match. He wants to go on the world scene and become a professional boxer. And so this is where Creed decides, let me do this. Let me have an exhibition match with Drago, you know, because remember,
he comes out of retirement.
He comes out of retirement, and he was the one who was wearing the red, white, and blue pants.
Right. He represented America.
And so, that when, and all the leading up to it, Drago was reported to be this really almost, unhuman physical specimen, and he was belittling everybody and said that there was nobody that could beat him. Interesting, his wife, I don't know what's her name? His wife ends up marrying Sylvester Stallone 2 years after this movie.
An interesting, they are no longer together, but yeah.
No, they were only married for a couple of years. They didn't have any kids, but she's, now, again, Rocky's 5'9". I think she was 5'11", stocking feet. So, and she's a beautiful woman. But
fascinating tidbit about that. So, so Rocky IV. So what happens after the exhibition match? I remember. I had a question. So Apollo Creed, 1976, 1979, 1982, now 1985. Was he based on anyone in pop culture at that time? Was this before OJ?
Well, at the
popular
beginning, no, not really, because Muhammad Ali, who was such a great boxer during that time, was flashy, but Apollo Creed took it to a different level.
Muhammad Ali never took it on himself to represent America. The opposite, you know.
You go back and you reread Muhammad Ali. I mean, he stood up for a lot of things. In fact, went to prison because he refused to go in the military. Because he said, you know, the Vietnamese never did anything to me. And so he became a civil rights champion and became ultimately a real hero, not just in boxing, but in life generally because of his courage and his stands.
In any other sports, was there a Apollo Creed type or something that this would you say maybe?
At that time, I don't remember. I don't think so.
It's pretty interesting that he would also like really represent America on the stage, that this character, you know, would be this pop culture icon for four films. Mm-hmm. All right. So he gets to the exhibition match and doesn't go well.
No, Drago kills him,
right.
And at the end, because Creed is losing badly, But Creed says, do not stop this fight. Do not stop this fight, no matter what you do.
Rocky
at that point is training him. Oh, Rocky's okay, in his corner. And so Rocky has the when you throw in the towel in a boxing match, that means it's over when your trainer does that. Rocky's holding the towel because he sees Creed is really getting beat up. But Creed had told him, whatever you do, do not stop this fight. So Rocky withholds the towel, doesn't throw it in, and Creed goes down and is dead. You know, he never. And so, wow. I mean, this because they had become very good friends at that time. At that time, Rocky was actually training Creed for this fight. And it was an exhibition fight. It was supposed to be just an exhibition, not really a fight for a title or anything.
So do people actually die in boxing? Or is this just...
Some have.
Yeah. By this time, did it become kind of more an anime or cartoon than you know, realistic movie?
Well, it's amazing because when I look back at the fighting scenes and you see how those punches... Now, these are scenes, so they're... But you look how those punches are shown. You can understand why somebody will get killed or brain damage. And yes, and because... I think it was in the 60s, there were a couple of fighters in the middleweight division that were killed. And since that time, boxing has really kind of cleaned it up. And so they've given the referee in the ring a lot more authority to stop a fight if he sees that somebody's really hurt.
Or that it's unfair, unbalanced.
Yeah.
That's so interesting to me. Yeah, I've never been, as you know, that interested in the sport, but also to me, it just... It all seems violent. So, you know,
violent. You know, it's very violent.
The fair part to the unfair part looks pretty similar to me. But I also understand that as you get granular, it's not about the violence. It's about the chess, which is a metaphor we'll come to soon. I really liked that.
What was interesting in Rocky IV, too, is here you have Gregor, who is this massive man, and he and talking about, it's obvious that they show in one of the frames where he was taking some injections, but they have all the super equipment he's exercising on, all these computers and things that are showing up. In contrast, Rocky decides to go train in Russia.
And in Siberia.
He's in this cabin and it's just like 3 feet of snow outside or whatever. And he's got no modern equipment at all. You know, he's using a sledgehammer on a tire, and he's dragging a cart through the snow, and he's running up a hill with 2 feet of snow. And so it's all very contrast between what he's willing to do with his body without any equipment, just drive. And you see the contrast they keep showing from one scene to another, where Drago is really in this high-tech gym with all this equipment. And so
I think a big part of that is also showing the state sponsorship right behind Drago.
Exactly.
Right. Yeah. And this is Rocky versus Russia.
Exactly.
You know, that is really interesting. And of course that is the montage of this movie. Probably one of the most exciting ones out of any of the Rocky franchises. The whole franchise. This montage of him in the snow and everything, trying to trudge through. And I think the idea is like, I'm going to go to his backyard and get hardened in where he did, right?
Yeah, and they show that Drago was such a people's hero in the Soviet Union, and was considered unbeatable, and he was going to show that they were so much better than the West. And interesting, Gorbachev, who was the prime minister of Russia at the time, they have an actor who looks very much like him, is in the stands, and everybody is so in favor of Drago it's a West versus the East. It's really showing that contrast between good and evil in Russia and the U.S. Or not actually at that time it was Soviet Union and U.S. in its sort of classic combat.
So the climax of the movie, Rocky faces off with Drago, in Russia, right?
Yes, yes.
And it's this huge kind of America versus the US or USSR. It's a big Cold War confrontation, and Rocky wins.
Well, and the first several of rounds, Rocky's really getting beat up, but refuses to quit. And so, and so Drago initially thought that he was going to win in the first round or two. And finally, Rocky gets some punches in, and Drago, you could say, first time anybody has really hit him. And so his respect starts to change. And it's just a battle of gladiators at that time. And toward the, I think it was a 12-round fight, and toward the 11th and 12th round, people are so amazed that Rocky's still not only still fighting, but alive. And so they begin chanting Rocky. And toward the end, at the fight, all the Russians are chanting Rocky, Rocky, Rocky. And so the Politburo and all the Russian people are so upset. And so it's a little it's really quite theater. I mean, wasn't going to happen in real life.
It's about the undeniable power of an underdog that exactly. You cannot help but see the raw heart and, you know, fight in someone. And when you do see that there's only the objective truth that person's the hero, you know. Yes. You can't, and that's kind of the whole Rocky story in a nutshell, is exactly. That when you see someone this determined and, you know, this up against the ropes, but they're going to keep going, you know, you can't help but be inspired by that.
Exactly. Yes.
And so then the Cold War was over in real life after that, right?
Well, shortly in like 1989, just before the next movie, but the Russians weren't involved in the Rocky Five, but you're right.
Right.
Because Gorbachev and Reagan came to kind of an accord, and the Berlin Wall came down, and the Soviet Union really basically collapsed.
Was that, in your memory, like an image that went around a lot after Rocky IV? The image of like Rocky beating Drago or something, like did it kind of serve as a metaphor for the Cold War outside of the movie? Did that not really happen back then?
only to the degree that the U.S. likes to be the victors. And remember, the U.S. had 10 years earlier than that had gotten kicked out of Vietnam and lost a war to a very inferior foe. And mm-hmm. So for them to this is the Cold War time. And so it was a matter of pride. It at the time, it really didn't speak to the general public more about, other than the sort of the image of Soviet Union versus, or East versus West. But I can't remember, because that was in 85, 86 where it came out, and then the Cold War really wasn't over. Initially, mm-hmm. The Berlin Wall fell 3-4 years later.
Right, yeah. I mean, I'm just wondering, it's powerful imagery, how it was used, but regardless if it was or not, just it being such a popular movie and
yes,
and narrative, definitely part of that whole, part of the story of that decade.
But what was encouraging at the time, even though the U.S. and the Soviet Union were really at loggerheads, when in Russia, all the Russian people started chanting Rocky, 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 it gave you the feeling, okay, as you suggested, everybody loves an underdog. And when somebody demonstrates so much heart and courage, regardless of nationality, it's easy to be embraced that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, absolutely. All right. And the other component I want to talk about with Rocky IV is that he's a superstar now, right? He has sports cars. He has a mansion.
Yes.
Very much like Sylvester Stallone. And so I think that's speaks even more to the decision to go to Siberia, is like, you have to give that all up to really, you know, get the heart that he needs to win. Mm-hmm. Which is, you know, not something he can buy or be from his private earnings of being a successful capitalist in America, or from state sponsorship in Russia, right? It comes from within, and it kind of going back to the working class heart that he found in Philadelphia. You know, when he first started climbing those steps and everything like that. All right. So anything else you wanted to mention about Rocky IV if we get to Rocky V?
No, as you say, after Rocky IV, I mean, he was established as a world champion and regarded as such, very wealthy and had a different lifestyle. And then you move into Rocky V.
From a million to one shot, he became a true champion of the world. Now, the glory.
Because of the continuous violent blows to the head, the effects are irreversible.
The crowds.
My husband is retired. He has nothing more to prove.
And the money are gone.
You lost millions.
Look, I still got my place in the old neighborhood.
His title is in the hands of a new champion.
He might win a few fights, but he's no Rocky Balboa.
Controlled by an unscrupulous promoter.
This is your medical report. It's not so good, but we can work around it.
I don't know if you knew Rocky V, where Paulie, who was the brother-in-law, had given the power of attorney to an accountant who ripped them all off, and they lost everything. They become bankrupt. They had to sell their house, they had to sell all his trophies, had to sell everything and move back to a small apartment in the Philadelphia area from which they came. And so it was a real transition. And he had retired at that time because he actually was injured. Mm-hmm. And the doctors wouldn't let him. The doctor said, if you have another fight, you may end up blind or worse.
Right. Well, that's the smart way they did it, where to be an underdog again, like you said, he lost everything, but also you're the underdog because you're retired, you know.
Yes.
you're the has-been kind of or something. So if you have something to prove, it's that you still got it, not that, you know, you have it in the first place, like in the first few movies. It's an interesting dichotomy. This is the movie that has the character that's very much like Don King, right? The promoter.
Yes.
And so this is what I think is interesting in the franchise, that it does really well at some points, is that you have their rival, which you mentioned before, it's not always an antagonist. Sometimes it's, you know, they have respect for each other. And in the best, at best times, they have respect for each other. Sometimes it's a cartoon character like Clubber Lang, where it's just a villain to defeat. Mm-hmm. And sometimes it's, you know, like Apollo Creed or Drago, you understand, you know, has his own kind of pressures from the USSR. But what I find interesting is that, you know, you have your rivals, and then what often happens is that you realize that you're fighting them, you're fighting yourself as much as you're fighting them, right? So you have your inner battle. That's why Rocky has to go to Siberia, because it's about, you know, gaining that heart and that discipline and that strength, which is the inner battle. And then it's your rival. But what it's also about is the pressures from the public and the narrative, right? Whether or not you still got it, whether or not, you know, the very first movie, you know, it's about just proving yourself and going all rounds. And in this movie, you see that it can be used like in a toxic way, or it can be used to really pin people against each other to it's its own force, basically.
Yes.
Is the public. And that comes back in the Creed movies a lot as well. And it's, mm-hmm, kind of like the third rail between, you know, the fighter in the two corners, and then you have the crowd.
Yeah. And in Rocky V, there's a young man who actually played by Tommy Morrison, who was a professional fighter, heavyweight champion. He came in and asked Rocky, he bugged Rocky to train him, and Rocky was retired, didn't want to do it. But Rocky took him under his wing and decided to train him, actually moved him into his house, moved him into the bedroom, that formerly where Mick, where his trainer was there, and Mick had died in the earlier movie. But So what happened is Rocky's son at that time was about 8 or 10 years old, and they were really tight. But then Rocky started spending so much time training this young fighter that he lost the connection with his young son. Mm-hmm. And his young son was being bullied at school going through a lot of trauma. And so they became distant. And then, but what happened is, you say, this character who was like, what would you say his name?
Don King.
Don King, yeah. He came in as a big promoter mm-hmm. and convinced this Tommy Gunn, the fighter, that he could offer him a lot more, because he said, "I'll give you a shot." Rocky, who was training him, says, you're really good, but you're not ready for any kind of shot. Anyway, so Tommy Gunn decided, throw Rocky aside, to go with the promoter and end up, this was a big deal back and forth, because Rocky had been told, you cannot fight anymore because you could get injured very badly. But at the end of the day, what happens if they didn't get in the ring, they had a street fight. They had a street at the end.
I think that was also, how can we change it up? You know, yeah, it's 1990. Exactly. Like, you know, let's have a street fight.
Yeah. And it was a brutal street fight. I mean, it went on for quite a while. It was brutal. I mean, throwing people against the wall and things like that. Yeah. It was one of those where Rocky was battered, looked like he was out. He would get up, and it was just going on and on and on. Finally, he prevailed. And so it was, you know, Rocky, whose courage and discipline and just never give up attitude won again. And you know, the hero is supposed to win. And so, because Tommy Morrison kind of came from an earlier, nicer guy to a real creep. And then Rocky was able to sort of re-energize a relationship with his son. So,
mm-hmm. And a lot of that was, you know, demonstrating that the pressure of the crowd, you know, that bar crowd, the promoter riling it up, and kind of showing the show business side of boxing, but also the emotional side, right? That there's people can get to your head, your rival can get to your head, you can get to your own head. It's all about the mental game, the chess match of boxing.
Yeah. And it took another transition time, because we had moved our family from Bangkok to Jakarta at that time. You were only, you know, 2 to 3 years old. And so.
Right. So this is the first Rocky movie I was alive for.
Okay.
I was a year old. Yeah.
Yeah.
And it seems like, so if the first few movies, Rocky 2, 3, 4, each came out 3 years after the first one.
Yep.
This one was 5 years later.
Yep.
So
that time, Rocky was doing, Sylvester Stallone was doing the Rambo movies. Mm-hmm. And so he was already doing
Planet Hollywood.
Things. Yeah.
Right. Yeah. All right. So, I actually wanted to say that was around the time that I remember finding out who Sylvester Stallone was, because we went to the Planet Hollywood grand opening in Honolulu, and I was, you know, a baby, or probably 5 years old or something, on your shoulders.
Yep.
And only star I knew of was Arnold Schwarzenegger, probably because of his name and you know, funny accent and stuff. And I remember you pointing out Sylvester Stallone, and I didn't know who that was, and you said, "He's like Arnold Schwarzenegger." And I was like, "Oh, okay."
With like a small Arnold Schwarzenegger.
But he also didn't co-found Planet Hollywood?
Yes. Yeah. I think it's Schwarzenegger and Stallone, and I don't know who else. There was a couple of celebrities, and so they opened up, I don't know how many around the world, and it didn't last too long, but it was a big investment.
Right. Yeah. No, I remember going the early 2000s and mm-hmm. checking out props and stuff.
Yep. Yeah.
Definitely of its time. Like thinking about it now, it almost seems like a Blockbuster video or something like that, you know?
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. All right. So Rocky V, 1990 was a street fight. And then 6 years later, so another longest gap.
Actually, Rocky Balboa. Was 16 years later.
Oh, you're right. Sorry. I was looking at the math wrong. So Rocky Balboa comes out in 2006. So yeah, the Rocky movies seem like they were, had a pin in it, they, you know, done and dusted. I think you had the 5 tape whatever it's called, collector's edition.
Yeah. On
and so he makes Rocky Balboa.
But it ain't about how hard you hit. It's about how hard you can get hit and keep moving forward.
Who was the greatest? Who was the best of all time? If two athletes from different eras could actually compete against one another, who would come out on top? In one corner, the reigning champion at Mason the Line Dixon. He'll be pitted against the former two-time heavyweight champion, Rocky Balboa. Computer says Rocky Balboa would be triumphant.
I think there's still some stuff in the basement.
What basement?
In here. I think I want to, like, fight. You know, nothing big, small stuff, like, locally.
What are you trying to prove, Pop?
I thought you might want to get involved.
Don't you think you're too, you know, old?
I think your brain's losing altitude.
You heard Rocky Balboa applied for a license. You want me to fight a guy that I can beat with both hands tied behind my back?
That computer fight got a lot of people curious.
Yeah, but I ain't interested in getting, like, mangled and embarrassed.
People are gonna think you're going crazy.
What's crazy about standing toe-to-toe saying I am?
If this is something that you gotta do, then you do it. Fighters fight.
To beat this guy, you need speed. You don't have it. You've got calcium deposits on most of your joints, so sparring is out.
I had that problem.
So what we'll be calling on is blunt force trauma. Heavy-duty punches that will rattle his ancestors. Yeah. Let's start building some hurting bombs.
Sylvester Stallone's already...
Usually, fighters are in their prime, in their late 20s. By the time they get to the late 30s, they're usually has-beens. I mean, only a couple of people. And Rocky, at this time, is like 59, 60 years old.
Right, right.
And so it was ridiculous for him to come back and say, I really want to do this, you know, so.
But what was also interesting is, like, this is, and going back to our kind of show here being about Lego sequels and our perspectives on it, this 2006, like, that hadn't really started happening yet. Some people were going back to some IPs, but that... It was kind of like an in-between of the two. It wasn't a sequel, but it wasn't a new franchise. What it really was to me was like Sylvester Stallone trying to go back and kind of just pin its legacy, you know, be... That's why I think it's interesting. It's called Rocky Balboa. It's trying to be this kind of, like, you know, overarching one final... say, and I think it probably was also Sylvester Stallone thinking, you know what, Rocky V wasn't a good ending to the whole story. And he didn't direct Rocky V. He directed 2, 3, 4, but he did direct Rocky Balboa.
Yeah, and he kept saying, one to set it up is I think it's Mason Dixon was the fighter at that time who was heavyweight champ, and he's undefeated. Mm-hmm. But he was not respected, and people were saying he was carried through a lot of initial fights, and so he felt very much that he wanted to kind of establish some legacy. And so, but his promoters, when Rocky kind of applied for a boxing license again and got turned down initially because of his health and all, and he's 59, 60 years old, but the promoters of Mason Dixon decided, hey, this, you can show kind of heart and maybe establish Alexei is not such a dickhead, but a nice guy in the sense you'll give a chance to this old man. And so that's sort of the premise of it. And then, but the relationship with Rocky and his son, who's an adult now and kind of, I think he's in the stock brokerage or something.
Mm-hmm. I think he lives in Vancouver, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And so he,
which is so random. Like that.
Yeah. Because at that time, you were a senior in high school when this came out.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. But well, you know, George lived in Vancouver already.
He was.
My older brother.
The relationship
but
with
what
Rocky
was interesting about it, just like, it, you know, it was an American movie. Rocky's from Philadelphia. Might have been some Hollywood in there. But yeah, it's just interesting that they chose him to move to Vancouver. I think that the idea was like other side of the country and not even the same country.
And but the son felt like he was always living under the shadow of his father, the father of the former champion. And so the son really, when Rocky decided he was contacted by these promoters, and he thought, well, I've got what they call, I still have something in the basement. I still have something to prove to myself. I mean, it was ridiculous for him to fight this undefeated champion when he's 59. And in fact, this is Antonio Tarver, who was a real professional champion at the time, who played Mason Dixon. And so.
Right. They start getting. Yeah.
But one of the lines that I really like when Rocky's having this conversation with his son is trying to talk him out, is how stupid, you're just going to embarrass yourself. And don't you think about me, you're going to embarrass me. And that's when Rocky says, you know, he says, life will beat you down. Nothing's going to be as tough as life. And it's not how hard you get hit. It's how hard you get hit and keep moving forward. You've got to keep moving forward. And so that line has sort of underwritten a lot of my personal challenges and all in my coaching practice or whatever. For me, that's something that is a mantra. It's a primary rule about you can't control what's happening, but you can control how you respond to it. And so right. Whatever happens, you got to get up and keep moving forward.
And that was part two of a special episode of Frame Rate, Lego Sequels with My Father, going over the Rocky franchise. That was Rocky 4, 5, and 6. Stay tuned next week for part 3. We cap it off with Creed 1, 2, and 3. Can Michael B. Jordan capture the same magic as Sylvester Stallone? We'll see on the next episode of Lego Sequels with My Father.